So we are not obviously endorsing any specific streaming network, anything like that, but we have to talk about a show that we've become obsessed with, The Hunting Party. It's so good.
To say obsessed is an understatement.
It's so good.
It's really, really good.
It's really, really good.
And each what do you call it? Each
episode.
Oh, see, I'm boy. So obsessed with it.
I know.
It has
I was
blended.
Like, wait, which? Where are you at right now? For the record, they just dropped season two.
I know. Thankfully, because
but
I was
I'm like 4 or 5 episodes ahead of you.
I was ready to go back to season one to watch it again because you kind of find yourself drawn towards the characters. It's at least so that's good. What I do. I and then the storyline. Oh my gosh!
Oh,
and
it's
every
amazing.
Episode is amazing.
So it's kind of a cop show, I guess. It's like an investigative show. What I love about it is if you've ever watched Blacklist. Have you ever seen Blacklist?
I have not.
Okay, add that one to your list. Write that down.
Blacklist.
That's a really good
Blacklist
one too.
Blacklist is on the list.
Okay, so it's similar to that if you've watched it. It's you know, you've got this special team of agents and they have to find a list of very high profile criminals, essentially. That's the gist of the show.
Gotcha.
And every single episode is them getting a person off of the list. Essentially.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, so it does have that similar theme to it.
I can
see that.
Oh, which show did you think I was explaining right there?
What do you mean?
So which show do you think I was explaining? Do you think I was explaining The Hunting Party?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's exactly how Blacklist is too.
Yeah.
Hence why you should write that down.
I wrote down on my list.
You didn't write it down.
I did not.
People can see you, just so you know.
All right, so
it's not just on the radio.
The problem is, so I'm not necessarily a binge watcher of any of these things because I just find myself drawn to them and I can't get out of it.
Right.
So Melissa said you have to watch The Hunting Party.
Yeah, it's so good.
And I have, and you become drawn to it. So the Blacklist is on the list. I know you've given me a list of other things to watch. So
you have to. Blacklist, soon as we're done with Hunting Party. And we're bringing this up not so you can join our, but if you want to, I mean, certainly weigh in on our conversations about this show. The reason we bring it up is I don't know which episode it was, but the main character in Hunting Party tells a story. And it's so funny because it has nothing to really do with the killer they're going after in that episode. I mean, it has to do with her character development.
Right,
That's why she tells this story, is how did she become an agent? But what's funny is, typical me and Gary, we're watching this episode and immediately we're like, wait, this could be a podcast. Not because of the character or the killer they went after, but she tells a story about what happened to her on a sleepover. And I'm like, Gary, we have to talk about sleepovers. We have to. Are they a good idea or a bad idea?
Yeah, and she does. She tells the story, and it's done in such a way that because it's part of the show, and you know that there's a lot of layers to these episodes. But yeah, she tells that story of going to a sleepover and waking up
to her best friend's house.
Yeah,
very familiar person.
Exactly, but it changes because it's a sleepover,
right?
And she wakes up and she finds herself kind of just searching or exploring. And that's kind of what sleepovers are. Sometimes it's a free pass to explore.
Right. It's like a behind the scenes kind
of
thing. Right.
I'm not going to go to
sleep. I'm in someone's house right now.
Right,
what is happening at 2 a.m.?
Everybody else is asleep. And so she does. She goes and explores and discovers some pretty
awful things about the father.
Yes.
Right. But it led us to talk about why are sleepovers potentially not the best idea if you don't vet properly. And I think this is such a good topic because growing up in the 90s, and I don't know how you were with your kids or even how your parents treated sleepovers. In my household, as you could probably imagine, Gary, Alan and Claudia were not sleepover people other than grandma and grandpa's house. They did not like it. They felt like nothing good happens at nighttime, whether it's you're sleep deprived, you're eating junk food, or it was more trouble for the parents you were staying at. They were not for it. We never grew up doing sleepovers. But it's interesting as we talk about the criminal aspect of it and the media aspect of it and really diving into what happens at sleepovers differently than other events, it is something to take note of and to really think about if you're debating having your kids do sleepovers.
Yeah, I was a little different. I didn't like to do sleepovers because I was afraid.
Of the dark?
Well, at my own house, it would get dark as well. So it wasn't necessarily that I'd be afraid of, but it was the different noises. So I would stay over my cousin's house, and they had baseboard heat as opposed to hot air.
So when it kicks on?
Yeah, and you'd hear the little pipes kind of creaking.
That's scary.
Yeah, and so sort of like the movie Elf. Have you seen the movie Elf where at the beginning of it?
Elf?
Elf, yeah.
Like at the Christmas elf. Yeah. Why do you say elf? It's elf.
Is it elf? Isn't that what I'm saying?
No, you're saying elf, but okay. Yeah, elf. Yes, right, I've seen elf. I love elf. Yeah, of course. Elf.
Hope you find your dad.
Yeah. I love elf.
Good luck.
Sorry, continue.
That's a good line. Yeah.
You should use that. Write that down.
I hope you find your dad. That's going to be our missing person episode.
There you go. Hope you find. Oh my God.
When he's when he's sitting there in the kitchen, when the father goes off,
the radiator
creaks.
Yes.
Well, that's what it would sound like at my cousin's house. So I'm like, I am never staying there. So I was an anti sleepover because I was just afraid of all those creaks and sounds and noises. Because it's a different environment as well.
Yeah. Well, I would always be afraid to use the bathroom. Because I didn't want to make noise in the hallway. I didn't want to wake somebody up. Right. What if they have an animal? What if somebody else is using the bathroom and then I'm a nuisance? What if the flushing the toilet woke somebody up? So I had all this anxiety of, which I never had to go through it because my parents wouldn't let me sleep over anywhere.
That's going
to
be another episode. Therapy kids.
Therapy.
Therapy Melissa and Gary need as a result of our fear of staying at someone else's house.
That's so true.
So yeah, I didn't do that and stay over. And then for my kids, it was kind of unique that we didn't want that. And yeah, and coming from a law enforcement background, I think we always think the worst of like what's going to occur. Not that we weren't friends with people and our kids weren't friends with people. I think we just felt a little bit safer if we did this concept of like a half sleepover.
Right.
You can like, stay for a little while, but we're
you go pick them up late.
Yeah.
Claude loved doing that.
Right. It's like the, you know, the, hey, I'll stay till 10. I was always the one that would say I'll pick you up around 10:30 or even 11, but you're coming home.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, Gary, even the things that you just talked about, if a noise clicks on at a house or going to the bathroom, that doesn't seem weird during the daytime. There's something about a sleepover in particular that even a fear that like you probably didn't care if you were at your cousin's house and the radiator clicked on. Maybe it's because it's light out. Maybe it's because everybody's up and active. You could see everything. Same thing with the bathroom. I didn't care about using the bathroom at my friend's house or going into their fridge, but there was something about doing it at night that there's a lot of unknowns. And I feel like we got to talk about the unknowns because people don't think about, you know, let's take a daytime play date versus a sleepover.
Yeah.
A couple things that I thought about just having a 7-year-old right now. First and foremost, usually when I do play dates, because Chase doesn't do sleepovers, but when we do play dates, I'm with one parent.
Yeah.
Because the dad is usually working or, you know, and so in our situation, the moms have these day jobs like I do. And so when we have the play dates in the afternoon, it's just the moms. Now, I happen to know the fathers because we've made it a point to all know the families. But a lot of the times, that's a person that is home with your kid at the sleepover that you actually don't know anything about. You only vetted one parent or you only really have a relationship with one parent.
That's fair. Yeah. And then the dynamics at home.
So right.
The things you don't know about relationships.
Right.
You know, like, you know, we see people in one environment.
Mm-hmm.
But at night, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night after dinner and what their environment is at that moment in time, I don't know.
Right.
And we won't know because some things are private to families. And so, yeah, the dynamics is certainly there. And the more people are around potentially,
mm-hmm.
older siblings, the dynamics of the house, you know, how when they go to bed, what they're talking about, how that changes from nighttime. You're right. I mean, because it's a different environment at nighttime than it is during the day.
It is. I was even thinking about in our own house. It's funny because we had my best friend from high school, who his kids are my godchildren, and they slept over for the first time, all three of them, a month ago. And it went well. But it was funny because I didn't think about this, and thankfully he had slept over as well. But this would have totally freaked out, you know, one of my godchildren. I get up in the middle of the night because I wake up from my regular job at 3 a.m. So even on the weekends, I just naturally kind of wake up. I'll get up, I'll go get a glass of water or something. Maybe I'll sit on the couch with Trusty for a few minutes, my dog, and I'll go back to bed. But I did that while they were sleeping over. And one of the kids heard it, opens the door at one point and is like, is everything okay? She's only 5. I said, oh yeah, no, I do this all the time. But I didn't even think to give them the heads up about that. So even the way we act, we don't even think of top of mind how we are in our own houses in a comfortable place where we're not being monitored. So what could be normal for us probably wouldn't come out when people are even vetting like, hey, what is the bedroom routine? Right. But you're not asking what happens after you put the kids to bed, what goes on till, you know, 7 o'clock the next morning.
Right.
That is never a question we ask.
Right.
And why
because
would we?
Yeah, because you're just living, you're doing your thing. And
right.
our kids are adapting to how life is
right.
after dinner and mm-hmm. what the cadence is of our lives. And if the cadence is one of conflict or times, you know, relationships have sometimes conflicts, and I'm not saying even drastic conflicts, we all can be good people, but at the same time, after dinner, you know, we get those little things of who's going to do the dishes.
Right.
Again, back to the dishes and the breakup from one of our prior episodes, but who's going to kind of, how does that relationship work? And,
right.
And what goes on after hours? So that is a good point that the atmosphere changes, the environment changes from daytime to nighttime.
You had this crazy statistic that I don't remember if we used it in the Kinda Knows episode as we look back at some of the other episodes. But it was in regards to people who target kids. It was like 7% or something. What was that?
So it was roughly 7% of all the kids that are sexually abused. And I have it right here. So let me just make sure.
Of course you do. You never throw out your notes. I knew you had it.
Are committed only 7%. This is it. So it's a reverse of what I was going to start to say. Only 7% of the children who are victims of sexual abuse are committed by a stranger.
So it's usually by a relative or somebody who's familiar to you or somebody who seems like a kind of know.
Well, yeah, a kind of know or even a family member.
Right.
And when you start bringing that kind of know concept to a sleepover, yeah, I kind of know. I kind of know an older sibling. I kind of know the dad. I kind of know. There's a lot of things I kind of know.
Right.
But do I want to send my kid there for an overnight?
But I think that's the thing we have to think about.
Yeah.
Is even that idea of what I would be comfortable with. So, you know, here's another example where I'll throw myself under the bus so nobody feels like I'm targeting anybody. We have shows that we allow our son to watch, but our nephews don't watch those shows, and vice versa. They have shows that they can watch that I don't prefer Chase to watch. And one of the times we were watching my nephews, not for a sleepover, just for a hangout, and we're all picking a movie, and Chase picks this movie, which we have no problem with. But my nephew very clearly says, Chichia, we don't watch that movie in our house. Mom and Dad won't let me. And I said, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. So we shut the movie off. We don't watch it. But there are kids who, like, so to me, I'm looking at my husband, I'm like, this isn't a bad movie, I don't understand, it's okay, that's, in our house, that's normal, and it's fine,
right.
And we think it's appropriate. But in other kids' houses, you put your kids in a situation where maybe a parent would feel comfortable saying, oh, that's not something we do in our house. But how often will a kid speak up? Now, that's my nephew. Would one of would Chase's friends say that to me? I don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times you have to think about, we advocate for our children so much that will kids actually point out that something either feels not right, isn't something they do in their house? Like, how comfortable are they, and especially in a sleepover situation where anxiety is already a little bit high?
Yeah, it's funny because it's also the time length.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can kind of set parameters for your children if you send them to a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
But the time frame too, it's a long time. So anything that I do as a parent, like, I don't want my kids, and I'm just kind of hypothetically here, I don't, because my kids are older, but I don't want my kids playing video games, or I don't want them playing that video game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you lose all control of
right.
that generally. Like, well, that's what we do. We play video games after dinner, or we watch these movies, or we go online.
Mm-hmm.
And we know through the conversations you've had on your morning show, with regards to going online and the complexities of going online. And everybody supervises their kids differently.
Right.
Not good or bad, but they're just different.
Everybody does it differently.
So once you give up that right to supervision,
mm-hmm.
because you're just kind of trusting someone else to kind of make sure that they make the right decisions. So it's really something to consider when you make that decision whether to do it or not. Plus, it's a personal, kids have a natural curiosity.
Sure.
And I'll give you a good example. When I was a kid, I would explore. If I was home alone, I'd explore. And I remember exploring one day, and I went in the top drawer of my brother's dresser.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, you know, searching through things, not
right,
for anything in particular. And I grabbed something, I don't know what it was, but I found out pretty quickly what it was. It was a can of mace. And I didn't know it was a can of mace. I just said, this is pretty interesting. I was real young. And I grabbed it and turned it. And when I turned it, I sprayed it in my own face.
Are you joking?
So I actually maced myself. Maybe that's why I wanted to be a police officer.
You're like, I'm used to this. I got this.
Yeah. But it was.
That is so
And so a couple
crazy.
Things happened with that. It showed me boy, how good. And nowadays, I look back on it, but it shows me how quickly you kids can, number one, explore. I was an explorer, and I'd always poke around in things. And
I called myself a snooper. Were you an explorer or a snooper? There's a very big difference. Like, were you curious or did you need to know? Like, I was a class A snoop.
So I still want to call myself an explorer.
Well, it's like, you know, when you wanted to know if you were dumped. You were dumped, yeah. And you were a snoop.
Well,
okay.
I was more snooping. Right. Yeah, but it was... And
I just think it's important that we're transparent.
I'm a snooper who likes to explore. How's that?
You're a snoop.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I was snooping around one day
and I got
sprayed accidentally in the face with mace.
That's so scary, though.
It is. Oh, and that is a lesson for that.
And that was in your own house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I don't know. Like, I'm snooping around. I don't know what it is. And I don't even know what it is that I'm picking up. I found out quickly because it sprayed me. And obviously, I put it down. But there's a couple things there. I couldn't tell anybody.
Right.
Because then I'd be like, label the snoop. Well, why are you going in there in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
But it's that natural tendency.
Or I'm going to get in trouble. Or is that going to get my brother in trouble? You know what I mean? But I would think kids go through that same process if, God forbid, and again, I hate to go to that dark place, but if, God forbid, they are, you know, they're inappropriately approached by somebody in a sleepover situation or something weird happened overnight. What does this mean for my friend? What does this mean for my friend's sibling? What does this mean for my friend's parents? I mean, it's wild.
Well, you're right. And then, you know, and taking it back to the hunting
party. They're not going to tell you.
No, exactly not. Well, because
and then you think it went well. Right now, I'm going down the rabbit hole. Now you think it went well, right? And you're like, oh, when do you want to go back again? Okay, so you know what I thought of, honestly, talking about streaming shows? Did you ever watch the Nickelodeon documentary?
I did not. I know what you're talking about, but I have not watched it. I know that's on my list.
It's rough.
Give me a pen again. Yep.
Here's why, on a serious note, because one of the actors that is very well known in Nickelodeon, if you haven't watched it, you need to. He talks about how he was sexually abused by, at the time, this was somebody who was helping him make it big in his acting career. And the mom never knew. The dad never knew.
Yeah.
And God, they wish they did, because he was too afraid. What is this going to mean? I need to make the money for my parents to have money. I don't want to lose my career. So he never said anything. And for, I want to say it was a couple of years, don't quote me, he was sexually abused by this person. And the parents never knew, because they'd be like, you want to go back? I mean, that's so great. And he's like, of course I do.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You have to watch it.
Well,
it's awful. Oh, it's awful.
So
it's terrible.
The next couple weeks of the show are going to be canceled because we're going to be busy. I'm going to be busy binge watching.
Gary will be busy.
Yes. Well, it goes towards that whole other further discussions that we have about kids and how it's hard to come forward and feeling vulnerable, and they're concerned about what that kind of disruption is going to happen. But it also goes back to the hunting party because the main character in the hunting party with the episode we're talking about was an ultimate snoop.
Yes.
Because that's what she was doing. She was just snooping around.
She's literally been in that house. She's like, this was my best friend.
Yeah.
We did everything together. I knew her house inside and out. And she said, I don't know why that night I decided to go through the garage.
Because she's a snoop.
Because she's a snoop, and we discovered. And thank God she was. And you'll find out why when you watch The Hunting Party. But it's wild, because you would have never thought. I mean, this is somebody, again, even the idea that our kids know our kids. How many times have you told your kids, you know, hey, I need to call that parent and make sure there's somebody chaperoning that party?
Yeah, that's like a given. That's one of those parental checklists.
But what does that even mean, though? Are you chaperoning the party? Yeah. Like, yes, you know somebody's chaperoning,
that's
but
right.
How do you know what's at the party? You know what I mean? I'm just saying, not to be the, see, this is what happens when you now become a mom. So you're like, I've done that. I've raised my kids.
You're absolutely right, because I remember if somebody would call me and or stop by, because we want to know certain things when you're going to drop your kid off.
Right.
If you decide to do that, you should do this whether it's a sleepover or not.
Totally.
You should be, you know, who's going to be home? Are there any firearms? Mm-hmm. That's such a big question to
ask.
Well,
Ethan's law.
Yeah, Ethan.
In Connecticut.
Yeah, Ethan,
here in Connecticut.
Yeah, Ethan was an individual that went over, and that wasn't even a sleepover. A young kid went over a friend's house, and there was a loaded handgun that was accessible. And tragically, he lost his life by handling that firearm.
Yeah, it was devastating.
Yeah, and so thankfully that they have the legislation now to try and combat that. Because that law is really not taking away any guns or any anti-gun law. It's just saying, listen, if you
secure
have guns, no matter what the guns are, just secure them. Because this is a good example of what can happen if you don't.
But another, like, I think example of somebody who, this was a friend of his. I don't know how familiar he was with the house, but again, came across something he found.
Yeah.
And I mean, totally accidental, but...
And so that's a good question to ask. You want to ask that question of, do you have firearms? But even if somebody called me and said, you know, are you going to be home? Are you going to be supervising? To your point of like, what is supervision? I'm going to be like, yeah, of course I'm going to be supervising. But what supervision means to me and what it might mean to another parent is different. Am I supervising? What do you mean? Am I going to be on the couch binge watching Nickelodeon thing or The Blacklist? Yeah, if that's what you call
like
supervision.
Like, I will be in the house. But how many times do you see that where parents are like, hey, we've got them on the cameras. It's cool. We're going to be upstairs doing our own thing.
Exactly.
That may not be how you, but it's, and you have to ride that line of how much do I vet and drive these people not to make them feel like I don't trust them. But really, you want the interests of your kids first. So if it means maybe compromising and doing the Gary, I'll pick you up at 11.
Yeah.
Maybe you pick them up at 11.
Yeah, pick you or
I'm not telling you what to do, but maybe
no,
you pick them
not.
Up at 11.
Well, I did. It was actually 10:30, but I think so. depending upon how I felt,
right? Of course,
and how far away it was, but you know, sleepovers aren't inherently dangerous,
right?
They really aren't. It's the environment change that can become challenging, and that's something that if nothing else, you kind of look through and say, you're not alone when you think about this. It's so funny because we've never really had these discussions about sleepovers, mm-mm. and yet we both kind of practice the same thing. In fact, Claudia, your mom, Claudia, has practiced the same thing with you.
Right.
Saying that you can go for a little while, you're not doing the sleepover.
Right.
So it's not this far-fetched conversation that we're having that parents are always having. It's just really understanding we all debate it. We all don't know what to do. It's okay to say no to it. But a couple of the other things to keep in mind were, and I mean, I know you have this with Chase because Chase is a good example of listening to what you say because he's so smart and he applies what he says, but have an exit plan.
Right.
If they are staying over, if you're going to say, look, kids go over there, you can stay over there. How are you going to get out if you really are uncomfortable? And this is what I need you to do. I don't care what time. Because what will happen with kids as well is if I'm uncomfortable, I'm not going to get up and go to the bathroom.
Right.
Well, are you going to get up and say, can you please call my mom?
Right.
Because I need to come home.
Right.
So you've got to empower them to say, if you find yourself uncomfortable about anything, middle of the night, whenever.
We have code words.
Okay.
And I've done that before where I will call Chase and I will say to him, you know, here's one sentence is, I really am craving bananas, mom. I want that for breakfast in the morning, which I don't know, I'm just making something up. That's how I know that I want to come and get him. And I'm always the one that I blame. So I'll say to Chase, you know, if you feel like you're ready to come home from your cousin's house, let's just say.
Yeah.
And of course now they're gonna listen and be like, cool. So you never make him banana pancakes for breakfast. No, I don't. But I'll say something like that where, or if he's at a school party and I'll say to him, you know, hey, what did you have for the food at the school party or whatever? And he'll say, you know, oh, they had pizza, but I really was craving bananas. I know that it's like, oh my gosh, okay, well, Chase, don't get mad at me. I forgot that we have an appointment. We have to get to it. So I'm coming to get you now. So I hope you're okay with it. Please don't get mad at me. But it's really this whole theatrical thing where you blame me, but it's him being like, I got to get out of here. I got to go.
Yeah, and that's a conversation we need to have. Blame the parents. Blame us. We'll take the heat.
Blame us, and we'll pick you up at 11.
See you then.